There are lots of words that are used to describe the place believers will spend eternity. But one that doesn't get used much is paradise. What exactly does that mean? Hi, this is Grace in Focus, and I'm Lucas Kitchen with the Grace Evangelical Society. If you're interested in learning more about what we're all about, I'd encourage you to go to faithalone.org. I'll come back at the end of the broadcast to tell you more about that. But as for now, let's jump right into today's discussion. Here's Grace in Focus.
Welcome to Grace in Focus Radio. My name is Sean Lazar.
Hi, Sean. I'm Bob Wilkin.
Well, you know, a lot of people think that they're going to heaven when they die. And people have different words for where you go, to the good place. They have different words for the good place, right? And so most people call it heaven. Some people call it the new earth. Some people call it...
Oh, like the kingdom. They'd say the kingdom of God or the kingdom of heaven.
Now, some people call it paradise.
Right.
That is a biblical word, but it is very rare in the New Testament.
Only three times.
So we're going to talk about what is paradise and where is paradise, because the biblical evidence is a little bit surprising.
One of the things I discovered when I was in seminary is that words used in the New Testament mean what the authors intend for them to mean in context. And so you can't just assume that, okay, I know what paradise means, because everybody knows what paradise means. That's heaven or something like that. Instead, what I came to see is words like paradise, the meaning depends on the context. And in the three different uses in the New Testament, paradise is three different places.
Very interesting. And this is a great point for anyone who is a serious student of the Bible. You cannot just open up your English dictionary, look up a word, and then use that English definition and impose it on the Bible.
Right.
You have to go to the Bible first and try to figure out what a word means in the Bible, biblically speaking.
Exactly.
And so that's what we're trying to do here with paradise. So the first use is probably the most famous use. The scene is Jesus is on the cross. He's been crucified. He's hanging there between two thieves.
Right.
And initially, both thieves were jeering at Jesus and taunting him.
Right.
But then it seems like one of the thieves, has a change of faith.
Right.
Right? It seems like he comes to believe in Jesus. If you go to Luke chapter 23, 42 and 43, this is what the thief says. Then he said to Jesus, "Lord, remember me when you come into your kingdom." And Jesus said to him, "Assuredly, I say to you, today you will be with me in paradise." So there's our word, paradise. So what is Jesus talking about here?
I think first we should notice that I believe what the thief said underscores your suggestion that he was already a believer. Because notice what he says, "Lord, remember me when you come in your kingdom." Who else at the cross believes that Jesus is Messiah? Who else at the cross believes Jesus is coming again to establish his kingdom? Even his disciples seem to have lost faith Jesus is the Messiah. They think he's a prophet or, you know, someone who was sent by God.
Right, and at this point, it's questionable whether they believed anything about Jesus because they scattered. They abandoned him.
Yeah, John's, of course, at the cross, and part of the exchange is between Jesus and John about Jesus' mother. But yes, the disciples did abandon Jesus both in his trials and at the cross. But here is a man who's confessing Christ at the cross.
Right. He believes that Jesus is the Messiah who is bringing the kingdom.
And when he says, "Lord, remember me when you come into your kingdom," he's, in my estimation, is saying, "I know I'll be in the kingdom with you, but I would like some kind of reward." You see, this man is doing something nobody else except the centurion is doing. He's confessing Jesus as the Messiah. And so then Jesus says an answer that really doesn't quite fit his question.
Right.
"Lord, remember me when you come in your kingdom." And he doesn't talk about when I'm coming in my kingdom. He says, "Today you will be with me in paradise."
So this reminds me of the first chapter of Acts. Jesus is risen from the dead, and the disciples ask him, "Lord, is it at this time that you will restore the kingdom to Israel?" And Jesus basically deflects the question and says, "It's not for you to know." The timing of the kingdom is one thing. No one can know about that except the Lord Jesus. But paradise, "Today you will be with me in paradise." That tells us that paradise and the kingdom are two different things.
There's a couple things I could say here. First of all, I think there's an emphasis on the words "with me." he's going to have close kinship with Jesus in paradise that very day. Secondly, I think it's important to recognize, remember that Jesus said that as Jonah was 3 days in the belly of the great fish, so shall the Son of Man be 3 days in the heart of the earth or the belly of the earth. Jesus was talking about the fact that between his death and his resurrection, he would spend 3 days in the saved part of Hades or Sheol.
Okay, well, let's talk about this because this is very interesting. So in the Old Testament, when you died, your physical body went to a grave or a sepulcher or a tomb.
Right.
And in Hebrew, it's called a keber or something.
Yeah.
But your soul went somewhere else. Your soul went to Sheol in Hebrew, but in the New Testament, they called it Hades.
Right.
And biblically speaking, it looks like it had two compartments.
We know that from Luke 16 and the rich man and Lazarus.
Right. And so in that story, we know that there is a bad part, a fiery part of Hades, where people are in torment. And then there is like a paradise part of Hades. That's where Lazarus was. And that's where Abraham was as well, according to Jesus' story. And so when Jesus died, his soul went somewhere. Where did it go?
Right. Well, he went to the place where Abraham was. And by the way, it seems to me there's a kinship between the passage in Luke 16, 19 to 31. Lazarus, remember, is not just anywhere in paradise. He is right next to Father Abraham, which would be the primo place in paradise. And now Jesus is saying, today you will be with me in paradise. He's saying, you're going to have close kinship with me in paradise. And so Jesus is going to the safe part of Sheol, Hades, where Abraham and all of the Old Testament believers are. And that's what paradise was at that moment. And we know that because if you think this is the third heaven, they were caught up into the third heaven, then you have the problem that Jesus didn't ascend to heaven until 40 days after he rose from the dead.
That's right. So biblically speaking, a huge change happened at the resurrection, basically. Up until the resurrection, whether you were a believer or not, you went to Hades and you were segregated into either the hot part or the nice part.
Right.
But the nice part, paradise, was, you might say, below the earth. It was in the underworld.
Right.
But when Jesus rose from the dead, it seems that biblically speaking, the location of paradise changed.
Well, we have evidence of that from the second use of the word paradise in the New Testament in the book of 2 Corinthians.
All right, let's go to 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verses 2 to 4. And here's Paul. Paul's speaking about an experience that he doesn't say it happened to him, but that's strongly implied.
Right.
It's almost like out of humility, he doesn't want to say this happened to him. He says, I know a man in Christ who 14 years ago, whether in the body, I do not know, or whether out of the body, I do not know, God knows, such a one was caught up to the third heaven. Okay, so there's a term there, third heaven.
Right.
And I know such a man, whether in the body or out of the body, I do not know, God knows, how he was caught up into paradise and heard inexpressible words which it is not lawful for a man to utter. So there seems to be an equivalent that paradise is no longer under the earth. Now it's in the third heaven.
Right. Now, we'll have another show in which we talk about heaven, but the third heaven is not the atmosphere around the earth. That's called the first heaven. It's not outer space. That's called the second heaven. The third heaven is some special place where God's glory is especially manifested, the Shekinah glory of God.
Mm-hmm.
Obviously, God's omnipresent, meaning he's everywhere in the entire universe. But there's some place called the third heaven where his glory especially dwells and where the angels, most of them, are found. And this is where those who have died in Christ, Old Testament believers, church-age believers, are right now. They're with the Lord in the third heaven. And Paul, while he was still alive, was caught up into the third heaven, which he calls paradise. So what's interesting is paradise was the center of the earth when Jesus was there. Now, we aren't told, was it paradise before Jesus went there? I'm somewhat suspect. I tend to think paradise is where Jesus is. But we do know for sure when Jesus got there, it was paradise. And Jesus is now in the third heaven, and that's what Paul calls paradise.
So paradise is where Jesus is.
I think so. In fact, The Greek word for the Garden of Eden, the Greek for garden in the Septuagint, is paradesmos.
Mm-hmm.
The Garden of Eden was paradise, and according to Genesis 3:8, God used to walk in the garden in the cool of the day with Adam and Eve. Well, since God the Father and God the Holy Spirit have never been seen by anyone, John 1:18, for example, that had to be Jesus in the garden in Genesis 3 and verse 8. And so I would say that was paradise too, because Jesus was there as well in his pre-incarnate form.
Now, does paradise stay in the third heaven? That's the question.
No, that's another thing, because we have a third use of paradise in the New Testament, and the third use isn't talking about the third heaven.
All right, so that comes to us in Revelation chapter 2, verse 7, and Jesus is talking to the church of Ephesus, and this is what he says. He who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. To him who overcomes, I will give to eat from the tree of life, which is in the midst of the paradise of God. Now the paradise of God is somewhere where the tree of life is, and we read about where the tree of life is at the very end of the book of Revelation.
In chapter 22, verses 1 through 5, and he basically says that you've got these rivers of living water, and you've got trees of life on both sides of the river, and they're yielding 12 different fruits. But this is clearly on the new earth in the new Jerusalem.
Yeah, so now paradise has changed. It was under the earth where Jesus descended upon his death. And then when he ascended to heaven, paradise went with Jesus to the third heaven. And now in the future, it's going to be on the new earth, the new Jerusalem. Paradise, again, is where Jesus is, and that's where Jesus is going to be.
Right, and that makes perfect sense to me, that paradise would be where our Lord and Savior is. So when we're with our Lord and Savior, we're in paradise.
So do you think that believers can have the hope that when they've believed in Jesus for eternal life, and they have that life as a present possession, do we have the hope of also one day being in paradise?
Oh, absolutely. It's a guarantee. We will be with him. Now, whether we get to eat of the tree of life, that's a reward for the overcomer, Revelation 2:7. But we'll be with him forever. And that's found in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verses 9 and 10, that whether we're awake or whether we're asleep, we're going to be with him forever. And that's really good news. So we'll be in paradise forever. We'll be with Jesus forever.
Thank you, Dr. Bob and Sean, for that great discussion about paradise. Well, maybe you'd like to go deeper on subjects like the one we talked about today. If that's true, I'd encourage you to go to faithalone.org. That's faithalone.org. On the website, we've got all kinds of resources just waiting for you. And in fact, many of them are free of charge. So take advantage of that by going to faithalone.org. You know, you might have a question or a comment. You can reach us by email. That's radio@faithalone.org, radio@faithalone.org. Next time on the broadcast, we're going to investigate a really interesting word that shows up a number of times in the Bible, the word overcome. So tune in for that. Well, I'm Lucas Kitchen with the Grace Evangelical Society. Until next time, let's keep grace in focus. Thank you.